Let's spend just a few moments then, as we have time, in the book of Joel. Joel chapter 1. I love studying the minor prophets. There's so much to learn from these men, from their writings. And one thing that we pick up from Joel may be thought of as unintentional, but I don't necessarily think so. We see Joel here, Joel 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What I want to talk about for the next few moments is, how will our children learn the truth? And Joel teaches us just how they will learn the truth. Little is known of the family line of Joel, except that his father is mentioned. The name Joel means Jehovah is Lord. Pethuel, his father's name, actually means sincerity of Jehovah. And that's interesting, and I want to make a point concerning that in just a moment. You have Jehovah is Lord, that's Joel. And then you have sincerity of Jehovah, that's Pethuel, his father. And this is really what we know of these individuals. It's very little, but we learn a valuable lesson from them nonetheless. And something that evidently Pethuel taught his son. Somehow his son learned the truth and was able to then teach others. So let's learn from this principle. Number one, we have to hear it ourselves. We must hear the truth. That's what he says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. So what was he telling them to hear? Hear the word of the Lord. We ourselves must first hear it. When we hear it, that not only means that we take it in audibly, but we take it in emotionally. We respond to it in some way. And then we take it in obediently. We follow it. We're not talking about Wayne's word. We're not talking about the elder's word. We're talking about the word of the Lord. And so if it's the word of the Lord, then we must respond to it as such. We must be obedient to it. He says, hear it and give ear. It's more than just the idea of audibly hearing it. He says, give ear. You remember how Jesus, when he would tell some of the parables, and what would he say sometimes? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Not just the hearing of it, but the doing of it. And so we ourselves, but so many parents today in the church, well versed in the scriptures, well know the plan of salvation, well know how to be pleasing unto God, yet their children know very little concerning God. Why do we worship the way we do? Why do I have to live faithfully? Why do I have to attend services? Why do I have to use the proper language? Why do I have to dress appropriately? Because of the word of the Lord. I think about child neglect. That is something that is serious, probably to all of us. Child neglect. We've probably seen some cases where there were children neglected. How did that make you feel? I was as mad as I could be. I could not believe that children were being treated in just such a way. It's awful.
PsychologyToday.com, there's this quote on this website. It says, child neglect is defined as a type of maltreatment related to the failure to provide needed, age-appropriate care. Unlike physical and sexual abuse, neglect is usually typified by an ongoing pattern of inadequate care and is readily observed by all those around them. And then it goes on to give some indicators of child neglect. But it says this at the end of it. Professionals have defined four types of neglect. There is physical neglect. There is emotional neglect. There is educational neglect. And there is medical neglect. But they missed it. There is still one that is lacking today, and that is spiritual neglect. Brethren, if we neglect our children spiritually speaking, they are doomed to a devil's hell. And shame be upon us as parents. We must teach our children. We must not neglect them. Here's little Johnny, whose parents have yet to teach him about God, not knowing the way of salvation, not knowing why his friends worship the way they do, why they've chosen to be in some denomination somewhere down the street, why Christian living is so important. Little Johnny's not able to figure that out. Well, where's little Johnny going to be in just a few years down the road? Most of the time when we hear little Johnny, we think there's a joke following. There's nothing funny here. We're talking about spiritual neglect. You see, when we hear the Word of God, we have a responsibility to it. We must obey it ourselves, and then we must turn around and teach our children. We have that responsibility. We must hear the Word of God. And then, number two, we tell it. Teach your children, he says. Tell ye your children. Verse 3, the first part of that verse. No more will these children of the Israelites be neglected. They had been. But no more will they be neglected. They had been commanded to teach their children. You remember in the law of Moses that it said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." This was something they were supposed to talk about all the time with their children. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Deuteronomy 6:6-9. But for so many years, the children of the Israelites had been neglected. But no more. Joel says, you've heard these things that have taken place. You've heard the things that have taken place during your father's times. Tell your children the word of the Lord. We have that responsibility. No more shall our children then be neglected, but rather they will begin to understand why mommy and daddy are members of the Church of Christ and not some denomination. Why mom and daddy live the way that they do and make the choices that they do to serve God faithfully in all that they do. Our children will begin to understand. But we have to teach them. The modernist will scoff and say, "Let your children experiment to learn." You've probably heard that before. But they fail to look at the end result of such liberal parenting. Rebellious children who are lazy and rude and quite frankly amount to nothing. Teach our children. We must hear it. And we must tell it. We have that responsibility. We must plan Bible study times for our family so that our family together grows in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. We must teach them, train them, tell them the gospel of Christ, teach them right principles, warn them, plead with them, show them in love the way to go. We as parents are responsible for teaching our children. Proverbs 22:6, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. While teaching those great Old Testament stories about Noah, or Abraham, show also how they can be applied to the one church. Or teach them also with Abraham about the seed line promise all the way to Christ. How God fulfilled that promise and made available salvation. Take opportunities to teach them more than just the stories, because they're much more than that. They are the Word
of the Lord.
Our children then can know more than one little boy named Johnny who stood up in class to answer the Bible teacher's question why Joseph and Mary took Jesus with them to Jerusalem. And little Johnny stood up and said, I know. They couldn't find a babysitter. You see, poor little Johnny. He gets the brunt of our jokes and our illustrations sometimes. And so we have a responsibility then. We hear it ourselves, and then we tell it. But notice this principle, because we can't leave this out. Otherwise, it will skip a generation. He says, then they should repeat it. Then let your children teach their children, and their children another generation. You see, it doesn't stop then when we teach our children. Our grandchildren are being taught. Great-grandchildren are being taught. Not leaving a generation behind. I hear phrases like that in the news sometimes. Slogans that are used by different ones. No child left behind. Let's not leave our young people behind. Let's teach them. And let's teach them the principle of teaching their children in years to come. And teaching others around them the word of the Lord. Joel 1:1. Continued teaching then is a must. What's interesting about this is not just a lesson about teaching our children. Because you see, from these very principles, we also can see evangelism much the same way. We hear it ourselves. We obey it. We give ear to it. And then we turn around and we teach it to someone else. And from that point forward, that person then can teach it to someone else. We refer to this as the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In Mark's account, he says, go ye therefore, preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, lost eternally. If we understand the consequences, then we understand that we must go. I think about the apostles who were thrown in prison after preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 4. They were warned by the council, do not preach anymore in the name of Jesus, in that name. We do not want to hear that any longer. They preached the name of Jesus. They preached the gospel to those people in Jerusalem. Guess what? They were thrown in jail. And the angel comes by night, opens the prison bars, and what does he tell them? Go. We must go. He says, go stand and speak to the people in the temple all the words of this life. That's much the same idea then, isn't it? Teaching the gospel. We have a responsibility. We teach our children the gospel. We teach the lost and dying world the gospel. They in turn teach it to others. Because the very purpose of Jesus coming to this earth, dying on the cross, was to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:10. And if we fail to get that point in our Christian lives, then we'll never be successful as Christians. That's the basis. That's the point. That's what it's all about. And when we read from cover to cover, everything that we read about is so that Christ could come and save mankind. And then He did that. And then now, how do we respond to that? That's the whole of the Bible. And when we begin to understand then, when we read through the pages of the Bible, but this is really a family album then. We love family albums. We like to pull those out. Grandparents, I know, love to pull out the albums, right, and show the pictures. I know that. This is a family album. It teaches us who our family really is. The family of God. How will we respond? Will we teach our children? Will we teach them to teach their children? Will we reach out into the community and teach the lost and dying world, and then teach them to do the same thing that we've done, to teach them the gospel, that the world might be saved by the gospel of Christ, by their obedience, believing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of sin, confessing their faith in Christ, being baptized to wash away their sins. That's the message that we have to take to the lost and dying world. We must go. Take a stand. Stand up for the truth. A.T. Robertson says in his volume of Word Pictures, he says this word stand is the idea of a bold and pictorial stand. You can literally see someone taking a stand, if you will. It's not about standing up, but it's about standing up for what is right. Standing up for Christ. We often sing, stand up for Jesus. It's not talking about us standing up physically, but it's about standing up emotionally and spiritually for the truth, for what is right. And we do that both with our children and with the lost and dying world. And so we think about the gospel. As we consider these things and we examine ourselves this evening, have you obeyed the gospel, number one? And number two, do you need to come back unto Christ, asking for forgiveness, turning away from the